The problem with babies is that they become toddlers. And every time that happens, those who manufacture baby formula lose a customer. How do the manufacturers compensate for the loss? They manufacture toddler formula, of course. Their toddler milk, as it's called, leads us to ask, should the ingredients in toddler milks be regulated?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1258th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way up there in Forus who are tuned in to the podcast on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, I found this in Michael Moore's book, Here Comes Trouble. They convinced our mothers that if a food came in a bottle, or a can, or a box, or a cellophane bag, then it was somehow better for you than when it came to you free of charge via Mother Nature. An entire generation of us were introduced in our very first week to the concept that phony was better than real, that something manufactured was better than something that was right there in the room. There are those who object to reject the idea that phony is better than real. One of the organizations doing the rejecting is the Weston A. Price Foundation. If you were to attend one of the foundation's conventions, you would see nursing mothers everywhere you look. And you would also see contented babies and knowing smiles, as if all the mothers and their babies were in on a very sweet conspiracy. Now, if you were in the business of selling baby formula to mothers, you probably would not be attending a Weston A. Price Foundation. You would be more likely to be heading off to Washington, D.C. with a big wad of cash in your pocket. The baby formula business is a multi-billion dollar a year industry here in the U.S., and an industry that big needs to be protected from organizations like the Center for Science in the Public Interest, or CSPI. The problem with babies is that they grow into toddlers, and when they do, the baby formula industry loses a customer. To compensate for their loss, the industry has taken to manufacturing a new formula they call toddler's milk. This is where CSPI steps in the door. Whereas the ingredients in baby formula are tightly regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, those in toddler milks are not. The toddler milks contain up to 15 grams of sugar per serving and do not contain any essential nutrients that can't be otherwise obtained from real food. CSPI objects to this phony is better than toddler's milk and is petitioning the FDA to regulate the ingredients. And so we ask, should the ingredients in toddler's milk be regulated? Well, we're going to ask Eva Greenthal today, and she is the policy associate with the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Eva, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for having me on.
Pleased to have you aboard. You're out there in Washington, D.C.
Today I'm coming to you from just outside Chicago, but my work is based at Center for Science in the Public Interest in Washington, D.C.
Okay, good. Is it cold in Chicago?
It is, indeed. No snow, though.
Okay. But cold. Well, thank you for joining us today. Center for Science in the Public Interest. What exactly is that organization?
So Center for Science in the Public Interest, or CSPI, is America's food and health watchdog. We were founded in 1971 as an independent, science-based consumer advocacy organization, and we work on a really wide range of issues, from nutrition to food safety to other issues affecting human health. And for people who don't know us by name, they're still probably familiar with some of our work and some of our exciting successes over the past few decades, which some of the most notable include leading efforts to pass the laws requiring nutrition facts labeling on all packaged foods, More recently, adding a line for added sugars to the nutrition facts panel, eliminating artificial trans fats from the food supply, and putting calorie counts on chain restaurant menus.
Well, you know, that sounds like good work to me. So congratulations and thank you from all of us out here who eat food. And there are a lot of us.
Thanks a lot.
So you're a policy associate. What is a policy associate?
So as a policy associate at CSPI, my main body of work is around food labeling. And I work with my colleagues to pressure FDA and Congress and food industry players to stop misleading labeling of food and beverages to consumers and to create a labeling environment where it's really clear how to make healthy choices.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just featured last week, I did a radio show with the folks from RCAF USA, which is a lobbying group for the people who raise cattle, those people who are out on their horseback raising cattle. And they're fighting food labeling from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Meat Inspection Act, and in which they have this really strange labeling requirement that's product of the USA. And the product of the USA doesn't have to be a product of the USA. It could be a product of anywhere in the world. But once it gets into the United States, they can put product of the USA on it. Are you running across that kind of labeling issues?
So CSPI doesn't particularly focus on country of origin labeling because there aren't, while there are clear economic implications, there aren't clear public health implications, and we really focus on labeling issues that affect the food choices people make and the healthfulness of those choices.
Okay, good. Now, how do you go about starting a campaign? Like, for example, you're working on the campaign to have some good labeling and in regulation of ingredients on this toddler's milk stuff. But where does a campaign start?
So campaigns start with identifying issues in the market that might be affecting human health and our choices and limiting our access to information. And then it's about identifying actionable policy solutions within the boundaries of the law. You know, we often run up against First Amendment issues where corporations have certain rights to freedom of speech that can limit our ability to limit their what's considered speech in terms of claims on labels. But there is a lot that FDA and Congress can do within the boundaries of the law to make sure consumers have access to all the information they need to make healthy choices. And that's really where we focus our efforts.
Do you remember where this toddler's milk do you call them campaigns when you go to work on an issue like this? Do you call them a campaign or what do you call it?
Yeah, we do.
You do? Okay.
We call it a campaign as an advocacy organization.
Sure. Where do you remember where this toddler's milk campaign started? Do you remember when the apple fell on your head and you think, ah, here's an issue that needs to be addressed?
So we became aware of the issue when our friends at the Rudd Center, which is at University of Connecticut, came to us. And they were already working on a petition to FDA asking for some updates to labeling regulations to address the issue. So they reached out for our support and our broad network of consumers who keep up with CSPI's work to activate our members to help pressure the agency on the issue.
Mm-hmm. So you have people that show up and say, hey, we need help on this. And you look at the issue and you can go from there. And somebody came to you with toddler's milk, which I've never heard of before. How long have we had toddler's milk on the grocer's shelves?
So toddler milk or toddler formula is really an invention made up by the baby formula industry to increase their market share. You can only sell so much product when your base, your consumer base is limited to the first year of life. And so what they essentially did was took baby formula, added some more sugars and some flavorings, snacked a label on there that says toddler formula instead of infant formula, and put it on the market. It's been around for about a decade, maybe more. And unfortunately, sales have really boomed in that time.
Why is that? Why have sales boomed for toddler's milk? Is it because it's loaded with sugar and it's it? Kids get addicted to it and start screaming if mom doesn't cough up with more toddler's milk?
That's a great question. What I believe is the main reason these products are selling so well is the types of labeling claims that the industry is putting on the packages. So you'll see claims like supports brain development or provides immune support or helps build strong bones. And what parents, you know, any parent or caregiver who's just looking out for the best interest of their child and wants to give them all the opportunities in the world might see a product with these claims and say, oh, this is probably the healthiest choice. What they don't know is that companies can make these claims really with almost no evidence at all. And when you see claims like these, like provides immune support, builds strong bones, they generally refer to the benefits of particular nutrients. And while those nutrients might be beneficial, the implication that children can only get these benefits from formula products is completely false. And really, a healthy diet of ordinary foods and beverages provides all the nutrients toddlers need to thrive.
Well, you know, what Michael Moore said in his book makes a lot of sense, because there was a time when industry invested a lot of effort into convincing mothers that breastfeeding was, I don't know, was what? How did they talk mothers out of breastfeeding their babies?
So, again, as I understand, it's all about these claims. You know, you can't, not to be crass, but you can't label a breast. Breast milk doesn't come with flashy claims that tell consumers how beneficial it is. But the reality is, the science is completely clear and experts are in broad consensus that, as they say, breast is best, that breastfeeding provides benefits to babies that are above and beyond what they can obtain from powdered infant formula. And essentially, you know, mothers might be unable to breastfeed or might choose not to breastfeed for a variety of reasons. And what we really need is policies that support women in breastfeeding their child. But what we also need is to prevent claims that make formulas appear healthier.
There
than
you go. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Eva Greenthal, who is a policy associate with the Center for Science in the Public Interest. And the interest we're talking about today is feeding our young things that maybe they shouldn't be feeding. We shouldn't be feeding. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable. It's a must-read.
USDA Director Bud Kerr.
Big book. MetroFarm describes the agronomic, economic, and managerial concepts required to generate substantial profits from agricultural locales near metropolitan areas.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning Metro Farm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we are talking about the Center for Science in the Public Interest has initiated a campaign to get the federal government in the form of the Food and Drug Administration to regulate what is being put in this product called toddler's milk. You know, the problem with babies is that they don't stay babies for very long. And once they're no longer babies, they're a toddler. And they don't take baby formula. As I understand it, the baby formulas are strictly regulated. What, you know, the companies can only put certain things in them. Do you know what they put in them, Eva? What is in a baby formula?
Sure. Baby formulas are primarily made up of powdered milk solids, lactose, and then they're fortified with a great deal of nutrients to mimic the nutritional content of breast milk. And you're right that the Food and Drug Administration is very strict in how it regulates these products because they are so essential for such a critical period in the growth and development of the youngest children. And so they set minimum levels for about 29 nutrients that must be contained in these products.
So it's kind of, I guess, in a real sense, like fertilizer, almost, in that it has everything the child needs, we think, to get by in the world. What kind, you know, one of the things that fascinates me was about the Weston A. Price Foundation, was that they have a big influence on fats. They really want the babies to get fats. And how do they include fats in baby formula? Do you know?
You know, I'm not entirely familiar with the manufacturing process, but what I can tell you is that it is important for babies to get sufficient levels of fats that mimic the content of breast milk, and that's exactly what the requirements for nutrition in infant formula are intended to achieve.
Great. So they do the best they can then to mimic the mother's milk. Now, toddler's milk. When does a baby become a toddler?
So a toddler is any child above the age of 12 months old, and an infant is any child 12 months old and younger.
Okay. So we have the rules that regulate what can be put in infant formula. What are the rules for toddler formula?
Well, unfortunately, the FDA is apparently still working to catch up with the industry. You know, like I said before, toddler formula is an entirely invented product category. And so while FDA has specific regulations governing the content of baby formula, they don't have any regulations around toddler formulas at all.
Now, when you discovered that, Eva, is that when you held that gem of knowledge up and said, look at this, we have to do something about this?
Yeah, I think indeed when we realized that the industry is in a way taking advantage of a loophole in the labeling policies that the Food and Drug Administration has established, that's where we said, okay, what we really need is some new regulations to address this loophole, to close it up. And then there's also some opportunities under the existing regulations around baby formula to go after products that are being marketed to both babies and toddlers. So, for example, products marketed to children ages 9 months to 24 months. those products shouldn't be on the market at all.
What kind of products are there? Is that the toddler's milk product that you're talking about, or is it something different?
So I would say toddler milk is sort of an umbrella term for any product marketed for children, toddlers over 12 months old, and then transition formulas, or sometimes they're called growing up milks. These are a subset that are marketed for an age range that spans both infants and toddlers.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered the ways in which these products are marketed? Do you look at that when you're, you know, thinking about establishing a campaign?
Absolutely. So we look at the labeling claims that are placed on the product itself, but then we've found that very similar or the same types of claims are being used in the advertising, marketing materials, pop-ups that you get on the internet. It's funny because since I've been doing so much research on toddler formulas, the companies think that I'm interested in purchasing them. So I get tons of ads all day long for these products, and it helps me get plenty of examples of the misleading advertising we're seeing.
Well, give us an example of a good misleading ad.
Let's see. You know, I think it's really this broad pattern of claims like supports immunity, helps with cognitive development, and the implication that these products provide something that you can't obtain just through normal foods and beverages, and plain cow's milk and water, which are really the best choices for toddlers. The worst thing we see is claims that are explicit, that toddler formulas are better than plain cow's milk, which is really a misleading and irresponsible type of claim for a company to be making, given that plain milk and water are the superior products for children.
So is there anybody who regulates these advertisements that you get on your computer because you're researching formula? I would suspect, you know, given the amount of research that you do when you're working on a campaign, you probably, the world of cyber detectives out there have you figured in for a mother who is desperate to find the right formula. And so they probably send you a lot of these. But is there anybody who regulates what is being said on these ads?
Sure. So the Federal Trade Commission is responsible for overseeing advertising claims, but the Food and Drug Administration also plays an important role there. For the types of claims you see in marketing materials, those are often considered part of the labeling of the product, even if they're not literally on the packaging label. And so from that perspective, any efforts that FDA takes to address misleading claims on the label would also help deal with the claims we're seeing in advertisements and marketing materials.
Mm-hmm. In the world of food supplements, the federal government has recognized the right of business to sell supplements and say certain things about them. And they fall under the Deshaies laws, and they closely govern what can be said. Is the toddler milk considered a supplement in the same way that maybe vitamin C would be a supplement?
From what I understand, toddler formula is considered a food, infant formula is considered a food as opposed to a dietary supplement, and toddler formulas would be considered the same. But a lot of the rules, particularly around labeling, that apply to dietary supplements are essentially identical as they pertain to foods.
So then they have to be careful about saying this baby formula cures cancer or something like that.
Yes, exactly. So cures cancer is what regulations call a health claim because it refers to a specific disease outcome, that being cancer. But there's a really fine line you get into between, for instance, cures cancer versus, improves immunity or, you can't say, for instance, that a product prevents you from getting COVID-19, but you can say that a product increases immunity.
Or perhaps supports the immune system or something like that. I think
exactly.
You see a lot
and
of
the problem really is that consumers don't know the intricacies of labeling law, and they might read a claim, especially during this period of time of a pandemic, they might see a claim supports immunity and interpret it to mean the exact same thing as prevents COVID.
And what about such things as builds a better brain for your child?
Yep, that would fall into the same category as supports immunity. And these are called structure function claims. So structure function claims are this specific type of claim that has a much lower standard for scientific evidence to support it. And a company can make these claims with just the tiniest kernel of evidence, if you can even call it evidence at all. Whereas with health claims like, cures or prevents cancer, you need a much higher standard of scientific evidence and numerous studies that really support it. And those claims have to be explicitly approved by FDA. So one of the many priorities that CSPI has in our advocacy around labeling is to increase the standard of evidence for these structure function claims.
Well, I believe those are the Deshaies laws that I've run into quite a bit in the course of doing 1,258 radio shows that they kind of govern what can and cannot be said. And it sounds like the makers of baby formula walk that very narrow path between what they can say and what they can't say. In the same way that those who manufacture food supplements or vitamin supplements or what have you. So it's pretty clear that everybody's walking that thin line and trying to make it through.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did a blog post on our COVID blog about the immunity tightrope that companies are walking, especially around COVID-19 and how these immunity claims have really taken a turn when you are talking about COVID. And then in the next sentence, you talk about immunity, a claim that typically, in the past might have been permissible, is now coming up too close to the line.
And since so many people are crossing the line, I suspect the folks at the FDA are scratching their head and trying to think, how are we going to rein this one in? Because, COVID's a pandemic and everybody's extremely frightened. We must do something, but how can we do something when there's so many of them doing it?
Yep, and CSPI has had some success in bringing to the attention of FDA some examples of products just making overtly illegal claims regarding COVID immunity, and they did opt to take action against some of these dietary supplement manufacturers. There was a manufacturer selling a colloidal silver product purporting to protect folks from COVID, and fortunately, FDA took action to get those claims off the market.
Mm-hmm. And they send them a letter and saying, you better knock it off or we're going to come there and find you a lot of money, so you better straighten up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the nature of selling, and that's the nature of what you're fighting, isn't it? You're waging a war on unscrupulous sales techniques.
That's right.
Okay. And the specific war we're talking about today, folks, is the war against, I guess, the unscrupulous use of toddler milk. That is a relatively new product that just showed up, what, a decade ago, Eva?
Yep, something like that. But we have some good hope that there's a lot that the Food and Drug Administration can do to curb the inappropriate marketing of toddler formulas.
Now, do you think toddler formula is a good thing for mothers to feed their toddlers?
So based on the evidence and what we're seeing as we view the nutritional content of toddler formulas, we're seeing that these products are very high in added sugars. And actually, leading health authorities like the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Heart Association recommend that children under the age of 2 not consume any added sugars at all. Toddler formula products on the market can have up to 15 grams of added sugars per serving.
15 grams? 15 grams?
Yes, and for context, that's a third of what a fully grown adult should be consuming at a maximum over the course of an entire day. And so for a toddler who shouldn't be having any added sugars at all, that's just a crazy amount.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break from all of this sugar in the toddler milk. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Eva Greenthal about CSPI's campaign to rein in this craziness. Right back.
History buffs. This tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place while the USS Dale steamed through the Bering Sea, January 1943.
We took some terrible waves up there. One time a big groundswell rolled us over so far I thought we'd never make it back. I was on the lee deck when the ship went over into that roll. Luckily, I was able to grab onto a bulkhead handrail, and when the Dale went over, my feet left the deck. I hung there with nothing between my feet and the ocean but air. I was scared. She went over on her beam, paused for a minute, then she shuddered and shook because one of her propellers was out of the water and thrashing air. Slowly, very slowly, she rolled back toward the vertical, and my feet found the deck again. That wave scared the devil out of me.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com. talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, folks, the problem with babies is that they become toddlers. And every time that happens, those who manufacture baby formula lose a customer. How do the manufacturers compensate for the loss? Well, they manufacture toddler formula. And that toddler milk, as the industry refers to their product, leads us to ask, should the ingredients in toddler's milk be regulated? Amy Greenthal and the folks at Center for the Science in the Public Interest believe it should be regulated, and they have initiated a campaign to affect that regulation. And I guess where you start must be in Washington, D.C., correct, Eva?
That's right. The Federal Food and Drug Administration is the regulatory body responsible for regulating the contents of foods, including foods marketed for toddlers. And so our efforts are really focused on engaging FDA to take action on this category of product.
And what does the FDA do when CSPI comes knocking on the door?
Well, so far, our primary activity has been to file a citizen's petition with FDA, and we did this in collaboration with about 29 other public health organizations and professionals. And FDA, you know, if this is an issue that they agree warrants prompt and swift action, They will receive our citizens' petition and consider the specific policy solutions that we've requested in our petition, and will respond to it in due course.
Mm-hmm. So 29 organizations. So you put together a pretty big coalition.
We actually simply joined the coalition, which was led by the Public Health Advocacy Institute, and then have continued the work from there.
Okay. And what specific actions did you request in your petition?
So, like I mentioned before, we're really working within the confines of the law, especially the law around speech. And so what we can do is ask for disclosures of what is in the products and what age groups they're intended for and whether or not they're appropriate for those age groups. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest deficiencies in the labeling of the products is some of them don't even have on the anywhere on the label the presence of added sugars, because FDA has a separate label for infant formula. You know, you're used to seeing the nutrition facts panel on all packaged foods. There's a different version of that label for infant formulas that doesn't have those lines for total sugars and added sugars.
Wow.
And we want to make sure that any of these products marketed for toddlers have the FDA's required nutrition facts panel.
So going back to the infant formula, there is a requirement that that sugars and added sugars be listed.
Nope. For infant formulas, that is not one of the nutrients required on the label.
Wow. So manufacturers of infant formula can put all kinds of sugar in the formula.
They can, although for infant formula, there are really strict criteria, and there is a line for carbohydrates and requirements for carbohydrates, and sugar is a subcategory of carbohydrates.
Right.
But babies under 1 year of age do need some level of sugars for their development. The real issue is that the same level of sugars isn't necessarily appropriate for this older age group.
Okay. But there are no regulations with respect to sugars in the toddler's milk, correct?
Exactly.
Let me ask you, I bet you probably have considered this, given all the research you've done to establish this campaign. What happens to toddlers who have been living on the sugars, they add 15 grams of sugars per serving in toddler's milk? I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about taking those toddlers as they grow up on sugar.
Yeah, so there is some good, strong research on consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, and we really see these toddler milks, toddler formulas as examples of sugar-sweetened beverages. So there's evidence showing that sugar-sweetened beverage consumption in childhood can contribute to increased risk of consuming more sugar-sweetened beverages in adulthood, of obesity and type 2 diabetes and dental caries, all the different conditions associated with consumption of excess amounts of added sugars in adulthood. And so that's extremely concerning. And another concern is specific to this very young age group, which is the development of taste preferences. And it's been posited that consuming these excess amounts of added sugars at such a critical period in growth and development might lead to sweeter taste preferences later in life, again, leading to increased consumption of added sugars and increased risk for diet-related diseases.
So by feeding these infants and these toddlers added sugars, we're essentially setting them up to be addicted for life. Is that wrong?
We certainly would like to see more research on this, but the early evidence does suggest that to be the case.
Wow. Now, you mentioned that there are sugars and there are added sugars. What is the difference there?
So, in general, in foods, you know, there's naturally occurring sugars like lactose in milk and fructose in fruit. But what we see in sugar-sweetened beverages, for instance, is fruit drinks that have the naturally occurring sugar from fruits. But, you know, since that's just not enough for some companies and what they want their products to taste like, they add in additional sugars beyond what comes from the fruit.
Yeah, I think apple juice would be a pretty good example of that. Because
right, apple juice is plenty sweet, I'd say, and has lots of naturally occurring sugar. But then you get products like Capri Sun, like Sunny D, which take sweet natural juices and add a lot of more sugar. Or in some cases, even though they have pictures of fruits on their packages, they might not have any actual natural sugar from fruit juice at all.
So it might just be all added sugar then.
Exactly.
Wow. Now, so you've gone to the FDA with your petition that is backed by 29 consumer organizations, and the FDA says, got an issue here, got to deal with it because of all of the public focus that's being put on this issue. So then, do you approach the infant formula industry and say, we're coming after you? How do you go about working with the industry itself, who, of course, does not want to be regulated?
Right. So in a lot of our campaigns at CSPI, we have a corporate targeted component. We haven't so much gone that route with our toddler formula work so far, and that's largely because we think that a lot of the issues could be better addressed through regulations. It's clear that the will of the industry is to make these claims just as long as they're allowed to, and what a more permanent and comprehensive fix would be is regulations to address these, you know, somewhat nefarious practices by the industry.
And so they're going to just not do anything until they're made to do something.
That's what it's looking like.
Now, you said you had some kind of corporate branch in your organization, CSPI, that addresses corporations and has conversations with them or something and twists their arm, and so to speak. How does that work?
So when we identify public health issues that we believe require attention or issues in the food supply, we consider a variety of options that range from approaching corporations and asking if they'd please voluntarily change their practices to working to get laws passed at the state or local level. To initiatives towards federal regulation or federal law.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of toddler milk, you think that the best way to deal with this is just to go to the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, and have them establish labeling requirements for the product, which seems to me like a pretty reasonable thing. If we're feeding our babies all that sugar, 15 grams of sugar per serving.
Right.
And how many times a day does a toddler take a bottle?
You know, that's a great question. For a toddler, the recommendation would be zero. Toddlers can safely consume plain cow's milk and water, but there are parents and caregivers, again, who have likely been misled by the industry's advertising campaigns to believe that they are doing what's in the best interest of their children, who are feeding bottles of toddler formula. And, that can, the range up to several times a day, I'm sure.
So it seems like you're saying that one of the ways that the industry markets its toddler milk is by putting out the claim that cow's milk is bad. And I certainly hear a lot of that these days from all quarters. So if you can convince the world that cow's milk is bad and make these interesting claims about your toddler milk, you know, you're on the way to selling this stuff.
You know, I haven't necessarily seen any particular examples of marketing that says cow's milk is bad. Instead, what I've seen is marketing that says toddler formula is better. Toddler formula has more nutrients, has better nutrients, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Is that legal? I mean, a nutrient is a nutrient.
Right. You know, again, it's a fine line. And FDA regulates a whole wide range of products. When it comes to drugs and dietary supplements, it's not allowed to go around saying that a food or a dietary supplement is better than an FDA-approved drug for dealing with any particular disease or health issue. But for foods, there aren't necessarily equivalent rules regarding denouncing, you know, milk or fruits, whole fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, and so you can get away with saying a lot of things that are marginal, if best, but you can get away with it, and so people do. And they sell a lot of food that way. So looking down the road, where do you see this case going? Do you think that the FDA will grant your request and require some labeling changes? I mean, if I were going to give a toddler a bottle with stuff in it, I'd want to know what's in the stuff.
Right. So we are pretty optimistic that FDA will recognize how important this issue is. The agency tends to really understand that this very young age group, it's such a critical period in growth and development, and it really requires attention. I'll also say we have some good hope of the agency taking action on certain examples of these products that are violating existing laws and regulations. It's a separate issue about whether they'll establish new regulations that we've requested that are specific to toddler formulas. But there are products on the market that are actually calling themselves infant formulas or toddler formulas, but they have the infant formula label. And if it has the infant formula label and if it's called infant formula, it can legally only be marketed for children under 12 months of age. And if these products are being marketed to older kids and they don't have the regular nutrition facts panel, including the added sugars line, they're misbranded and FDA can take action any day.
Eva Greenthal, you've been digging into this, doing a lot of research. What would you tell young mothers about how best to feed their babies?
I would tell young mothers that breast is best, but infant formula is the next best choice. Up until 6 months of age, breast milk or infant formula are the only appropriate options. But for toddlers, please feed your children plain milk or water and not toddler formulas. They don't need the added sugars, and they're not good for their health.
Eva Greenthal, thank you so much for joining us from the Center for the Science in Public Interest. And folks, remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain? Cheap food isn't. Thank you, Eva.
Thanks so much, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.